We're going to be talking about the city of Tyre. It's the Isaiah 23. City of Tyre is the last in a series of City of Tyre was the of course the Phoenician city, so we might say Phoenicia. Tyre and Sidon were the two major Phoenician cities. We've been dealing with countries, really, countries that would be affected by the Assyrian Babylonian invasion into the Palestinian, the coastal plain, and the cities in and around Jerusalem, the countries in and around Jerusalem. You remember in chapter 8, Assyria was seen as a flood that was overflowing its banks and coming into the entire coastal region. In chapter 10, Assyria was seen as an axe in the hand of God to cut down the forest and then get rid of the sinners among them and prepare people to come to him. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 then was a prophecy of God concerning Babylon and Assyria and being replaced by the Medo-Persians, and their judgment was coming. Chapter 10, the judgment against Assyria was coming. Chapter 14, the judgment against Babylon was coming, and Medo-Persia would fill that void. So we had that, and then beginning at chapter 13, not 13, yes, in chapter 13 and 14 is Babylon, but 15 through 23, a series of nations that were going to be also impacted by this flood. They're going to be impacted by the flood of Medo-Persia and Babylon and Assyria. And so a series of exhortations to the people. This little sheet, Go to Zion, is my way of just trying to encapsulate that for you. Philistia, for example, was told at the end of chapter 14, was told not to gloat, not to get excited because Assyria collapsed, or the tyrant collapsed, because out of the serpent would come a flying serpent. This one's going to go down, but there's another one coming. The overthrow or the ousting of a tyrant like, say, Pol Pot or Hitler is not where national security is going to rest. What were they counseled? Go to Zion. That your security would be in Zion. In chapters 14 or 15 and 16, Moab, which had a strong agriculture, yeah, but they're going to come through and plow you up, and your security is not going to be that you have this strong what do we call it, gross national product or gross domestic product, GDP. It's not going to be that, because God can wipe that out at any time. Go to Zion. Bring the tribute lamb to Zion, they were told. Okay? In 17, I didn't see any particular comfort that Damascus had. Nevertheless, they were taught to remember the God of their salvation. Chapter 18, we have Cush. What is Cush? Where? What's another name for Cush?
Yeah.
Ethiopia. Okay. They were noted for their powerful or feared, an army that was feared far and wide. It's not going to help them. Strong military force, that's not going to help them. And so rather, they were taught to bring an homage to Yahweh in Zion. And then you had chapters 19 and 20, Egypt. Egypt would be invaded. Now, Egypt was this is the staff on which Judah was dependent. And they'll help us. No, they're going to be crushed. You can't depend upon a strong ally. You can't depend upon the wise counselors. They were foolish. They didn't know how to deal with what was happening to them. We made a note that today the wise guys on Capitol Hill, they don't know how to deal with what's happening. They've got all their plans are all over the place. And you got the left side saying this, and you got the right side saying this, and their plans are all over the place. And there's no wisdom that can bring eternal security to a group of people outside of God. And so return, the counsel to Egypt was return to me, return to Zion. Then you had in chapter 21, nations out there in the broad Arabian wilderness, separated, perhaps protected by this great inapproachability because of the desert. Didn't work at all. And so that didn't to give them the help and the comforts. Having secure boundaries, that having, I mean, we might think of the United States. We've got an ocean on one side, an ocean on the other side. Who's going to get to Canada? Mexico? And so we, oh man, we're saying, no, we're not. No, we're not. And I'm not going to go to the Greenland thing and all of that, but we're just not secure. And we should never depend upon physical things, physical choices to find our security. 22 was Jerusalem itself. And what was it that Jerusalem was doing to prepare for the onslaught? Remember?
King, hoarding water.
Yeah, hoarding water, make big what's another
Tearing
word?
down the houses.
Count the houses to see how many can actually we can afford to tear down to fortify the walls. But you didn't depend upon him who made it. And their dependence was not on God. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about Tyre, the last in the group. Next week we'll get into chapter 24, 5, 6, and 7, not all at one week. That might take us as many as three. That's commonly referred to as the little apocalypse. It's like the book of Revelation in in the Old Testament. And so we'll deal with that when we get there. But tonight it's Tyre. What do you know about Tyre? Yeah, it's right on. It is. It's right on the Mediterranean Sea.
It's on the northern coast.
It was an amazing center of commerce. Amazing center of commerce. It was. Have you ever heard this term, ships of Tarshish? If you studied the Book of Jonah, you have, and also here. Well, what's a ship of Tarshish? What is Tarshish? Is that a kind of wood? Ship made out of Tarshish? Kevin, you know what that is?
Not speaking,
Pardon?
it's a plate.
It is probably on the coast of Spain. That is the best information that scholars have come up with. Seagoing ships that could sail that far all the way across the Mediterranean. In fact, Tyre has been known not only to sail all the way to the Rock of Gibraltar. Is that called the Strait of Gibraltar? To make it all the way around Africa, all the way around up to Madagascar.
They got Britain.
And they got Britain. That's a piece of cake compared to getting to Madagascar, right? And so it's very accomplished, and therefore, well, open your to chapter 23. We're going to look a little bit at that from the standpoint of getting a sense of Tyre. In verse 5:3, you were on many waters, the grain of the Nile. The harvest of the river was her revenue. What make something out of that? Explain that to me. The grain of the Nile and the harvest of the river was her revenue, and she was a market of the nations.
Right.
We're trading with Egypt.
Yeah. Have you ever been on the? I guess it's the Snake River, isn't it? There's a place in eastern Washington where there are grain silos. And the Snake empties into the Columbia, right?
Yeah.
And then the Columbia comes down to Portland. Why did they call it Portland?
What is
Because of the ports, the seaport, seagoing ports. But there are There are massive grain silos. Yeah. There's massive grain silos, 300 or 400 miles from the ocean to take the grain that grows in the Palouse and ship it out to sea. Okay. We do that. I mean, we do what Egypt was doing. It just happens that Tyre was the market. That if you're on the interstate and you come to a thing called collector distributor, what have you come to? Collector distributor. Another word might be an interchange, a massive interchange where I-5 connects with 410, I-90, and I-5, just there by what, 6 Brewery, somewhere right in there. There's a massive interchange just south of Seattle. It's a collector distributor. Tyre was like that for the markets of the world. They would collect stuff and then send it back out. They had these ships. Let me take you over because Isaiah only has one chapter on Tyre. Ezekiel has three. I'm going to look at 26 in a minute, but right now, 27. Well, just Ezekiel 27, verse 1. I'm going to go 1 through 9. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre, and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea." That's the point we're making. See? "Who dwells at the entrance to the sea, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, O Tyre, you have said, 'I am perfect in beauty.' Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your borders have perfected your beauty. They have made all of your planks of fir trees from Senir." I have no idea where that is, but it wasn't local. Fir trees were not local to the Tyre. "They have taken cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks of Bashan, they have made your oars. With ivory, they have inlaid your deck of boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning was of blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you, repairing your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors with you, in order to deal in your merchandise." Now, as you read that, give me an impression. Give me an impression. You're dealing with Tyre, and you're seeing her ship coming into harbor. Well, opulence,
Splendor.
aggrandizement,
Leader of all.
Omer, say again.
Leader of all of it. They were known to
Leader.
be the leader.
Yeah, but we're looking here, especially in Ezekiel, especially highlighting just how opulent. It wasn't just an automobile, it was a Rolls Royce. And it wasn't just a Rolls Royce, it was a Rolls Royce that was decked out with gold handles, and ivory inlay for every place inside. Just it was the cream of the crop. That's what Tyre was. Yeah, but that's what Tyre was. And so she was the merchandiser. Get stuff from Rome and send it to Egypt. Get stuff from Egypt and send it to Babylon or places to the east, places to the south, and just collect and distribute. And every time something went through her hands, something stayed on her hand, the money. See? And so this is Tyre. All right. So what else do we know about Tyre? Verse, now back in Isaiah 23, verse 8. Who has planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? That gives you a picture of Tyre. She was a bestower of crowns. What does that mean to you?
They put kings on the throne.
They had enough power to manipulate who got to be king on the throne. You put that guy on the throne, we're not gonna trade with you, Rachel. Yeah, but in the sense that they exerted a lot of power to determine, I don't want to trade with that country. I don't want to trade with that guy. And so, you know, they exerted a great deal of power. But God is, this is dealing with the Babylonian invasion. But the interesting thing about that, and we'll get to Ezekiel 26 in a minute, later in class, that Tyre was powerful enough to resist the siege of Nebuchadnezzar. How long in the siege of Jerusalem, when she fell in AD 70 to the Romans, how long did that siege take? How long did it take for Rome to capture not just Jerusalem, but all the environs, ending with Jerusalem?
3 years.
3.5 years. But Tyre withstood. Now, let me back up. The invasion of Jerusalem by Rome was the antitype to the invasion of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Rome destroyed the temple. So they were the type, anti-type. So Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. And I forget, it wasn't a 3.5 year siege. It was not that long when he destroyed Jerusalem. Tyre was able to withstand Nebuchadnezzar's fort for 13 years. And Nebuchadnezzar never did conquer them. They were smart enough to use all of their vessels to ship all of their goods, all of their families, everything that was precious to them, to an island that was half a mile offshore. And by Nebuchadnezzar scaled the wall or had access, it was a ghost town. It was completely empty. And the Tyrians had reestablished out on that island. And so Nebuchadnezzar wasn't able to conquer them. Still, God had plans, and it's really quite an amazing story. But let's work our way, questions, first of all, questions about Tyre, her location, her purpose, I have a question for you. So if all of these nations that we've been looking at, there was something that God was pinpointing, saying your security is not that. What do you suppose he's pointing out with Tyre? Your security is not that. Pardon? Well, verse 9, Yahweh of hosts has planned it to defile the pride of all beauty and to despise all of the earth. It wasn't just financial wealth. It was the financial arrogance that went with that wealth. And God says, that's not going to help you. Not going to help you in the battle. All right. So let's start working our way through verse 1 then. The oracle, again, the word oracle means the burden. You know, God's laying a burden on the people of Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor. It is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. Be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon. Your messengers crossed the sea and were on many waters. The grain of the Nile, the harvest of the river, was her revenue, and she was the market of nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither travailed nor given birth. I have neither brought up young men nor reared virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report of Tyre. pass over to Tarshish, whale, O inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your jubilant city, whose origin is in from antiquity, whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places? I could have looked at that last, that verse right there, but what do we know about Tyre? As a seagoing entity, colonization. Say, look at verse 7. Whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places. Another thing I should have mentioned about, it's not critically important, but it's of interest. You have these two cities of the Phoenician, you have Tyre and Sidon. Now, we almost always say them that way, don't we? Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was a colony of Sidon. Sidon was the mother city. Tyre was one of the colonies, but because of her strategic location, she outstripped Sidon. It was more important, more financially secure, as it were. And she was a jubilant city, that verse you see there in verse 7. But
Rod,
look what he said. Yes.
Would
yes,
you
Mary?
Equate that then like King County and, you know, a place in King County? Is that what you're talking about, Sidon and Tyre?
Sidon was a city. Sidon was a city. And people from the city of Sidon moved south down the coastal until they got to a place that looked habitable, and they started another city, and that was the city of Tyre. So there's two cities in the nation of Phoenicia.
Okay.
That makes
All
sense.
right. I misunderstood. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Thanks for asking. Okay. So where was I? Whale, verse 1. Whale. Who wails? The Wailers, of course. What was their, what were their songs? The Wailers?
Jonah knew the words.
Jonah knew the words. Huh? There's this place on Maui called Whaler Village, but that's a different concept completely. Wail means to cry in anguish, to cry out in anguish, to lament. O ships of Tarshish, why? Because Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor. Now, important thing, when a ship with a cargo has a crew, right? And when they land, they need two things. When they come to land, they need two things. They need a harbor and they need lodging. Okay? What does it say Tyre has none of? Doesn't have any of either, right? Okay. It is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. What's the land of Cyprus?
The island.
It's still out there today. The Isle of Cyprus. Greek Cypriots live there. Okay. Be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon. Your messengers cross the sea and were on many waters. But this is what it was, and this is what it's going to be. Your ports are going to be devastated. There aren't going to be ports. There aren't going to be lodging. There's not going to be this accessibility to your hub of distribution. You know, think about it from the standpoint of the nations, and they're the ones that are wailing, because what am I going to do with this? How do I get this to the market, the merchants? It would all go through Tyre, and it's going to be destroyed. Be ashamed, O Sidon, verse 4. Be ashamed, O Sidon. That's your baby girl down there we're talking about, or boy, whichever. For the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I haven't given birth. I haven't travailed, given birth. It wasn't me that gave birth to this place. I struggle with the meaning of that. If you can think of something of I have neither travailed nor given birth. I have neither brought up young men nor virgins. This is the sea talk. This is the sea talking to Sidon. Be ashamed, O Sidon, because the sea says this. What do you make out of that? Should I play the Jeopardy music? Boom, 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 boom. Timmy, if he were here, he could do that really good. What do you think?
The sea
Could it?
is in well, it is kind of what the sea is.
Yeah, I think it's the I think it's the Mediterranean. I think they because that's where they were. And the sea saying, I'm not responsible for raising up new children, I think, which would be the people who occupied the cities or therefore the cities themselves. I
I
think
think
to me it's a call of emptiness. This city's destroyed and the sea's not going to make a new one. It's not going to be, oh yeah, cut the branch off this tree and the tree just has a root that sprouts a new branch. I think there's an emptiness to this. Not so much a finality, but a finality for now. Does that make sense? Because in just a little while, he says, after 70 years, you're going to grow back. They'll be devastated for a while. Okay. The report reaches to Egypt, and they're in anguish because, again, they don't have their markets. So go all the way over to Tarshish, which appears to be on the east coast of Spain, the Mediterranean coast of Spain. Go there and whale there. Everybody who lives on the coastland. Isn't that interesting? Who lives on the coastland? People who would receive the ships from Tarshish. And so they don't have a market to send their goods. They don't have goods coming. Tyre is shut down. It's going to devastate the economy of the Mediterranean because of the distribution that is set up. Okay. So the question is, in verse 8, who planned this against Tyre? Now, while we're thinking about that, and I know you know the answer because the next verse has the answer, but I want you to remember what we read back in chapter 9 of Isaiah, where we have this light that's shining in the darkness. And we have the child, verse 6, for to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, he'll bear the government. And all those wonderful things, verse 7 says, ends with, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will accomplish this. Now, this is going to be a thematic approach, especially when we get into chapters 40 through 45, that the God who knows what's going to happen and makes it happen is the only God you need to worry about. And we're going to see that specific line of presentation in those chapters. But here, who has planned this against Tyre? Who was the bestower of crowns? Whose merchants were princes? Whose traders were the honored? So we've got, and this is not just a scraggly little nation that, like an ant, you can just step on. This was a massive bestower of crowns. Who planned this wouldn't be necessarily the surrounding nations that wanted to destroy, except that's what God used, wasn't he? He used their desire for wealth and riches and power and dominance and territory. But it says that in verse 9, Yahweh of hosts has planned it to defile the pride of all beauty. God had an intent. Here's a nation that is so wealthy, so proud, so arrogant, so luxuriant in their pride and wealth. And God says, that's not the way man lives securely. I'm going to squash that. See, to defile that pride, to despise all the honor. You guys are nothing. That's not. Now, when I say it, and I don't mean to say that God thinks people are nothing. What I'm saying is that God thinks that approach to being important is nothing. It won't get you there. That attitude, that will not get you the kind of security, the kind of that you think you're getting when you get this wealth and this opulence. You're not getting the security you think you are. So I want to defile that. Overflow your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more restraint. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. Yahweh has given a command concerning Canaan to demolish its stronghold. So it's coming. It's coming at the behest of Yahweh of hosts, and there's not a thing you can do to stop it. There is only one secure place. Pardon?
Zion.
Come to Zion. Bring the tribute. Bring. Come to God. Come to me. I'll protect you from all this. Didn't we have that in the book of Habakkuk? When Habakkuk was laying out in chapter 1 the Babylonian about to destroy all of Judah. Chapter 2, post it where everybody can read it and run. It's coming. It's not going to delay. And he says, the righteous will live by faith. You trust me. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk is amazing. We don't have time to really go into that, but I think it's about verse 13, might be 14 or 15, as Habakkuk is looking at the coming devastation and how just his guts all torn up, this is going to happen. And he says, it causes me to tremble. But he says, you weren't fighting against the rivers. You were going forth for the salvation of your people. Sometimes debridement is necessary to save the limb. And sometimes it's very important, though it hurts like crazy, to have dead skin cut away. God went forth for the salvation of his people, not for the destruction. Here I'm trying to get rid of, back here in Isaiah, trying to get rid of this prideful attitude, thinking that's where security is. Your only security ever is in me, is what he's saying. Later, we get to, again, chapter 40 and following. He says, I am the only God. I am the only Savior that mankind has. And this is what he's trying to get these countries to see. It's not in agriculture. It's not in economics. It's not in wisdom and counsel. It's not in power and force. It's not in wealth. It's not in rejoicing in the collapse of the guy that was keeping you down because somebody else comes place. It's in me. God says it's in me. Okay? Yahweh has given the command, halfway through 11, he has given the command concerning Canaan to demolish its strongholds. Now, Tyre was one of the cities in Canaan, but it wasn't the only one. It wasn't the only one. So this Babylon, this Assyrian and then Babylonian insurgents came at the hand of God, and it was going to get all these strongholds in Canaan that we have been listing up at 15 through 23. Okay? Overflow your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more restraint. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. He has given the command concerning Canaan to demolish his stronghold. And he has said, you shall exult no more, O crushed virgin daughter of Sidon. See, there's the idea that Tyre was the daughter of Sidon. And historically, that's true. Rise, pass over to Cyprus. Even there, you will find no rest. So the coming devastation, you might want to, what is it that Paul Harvey used to say? You can run, but you can't hide. And though you flee and get away from the Tyre because you can go over there. Well, you're not going to hide from this. It was in their worldview. It was worldwide. The world they knew, the entire of it, was going to be devastated. 13. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people which was not Assyria appointed for desert creatures. What do you think that means? Talking about the land of the Chaldeans, which another and more popular term that we use for the land of the Chaldeans is what? Babylonians. Now, Rome was a city, right? It wasn't Italy, it was a city. But we don't refer to it as the Italian Empire, do we? We call it the Roman Empire, because that was the capital city. Chaldea was the territory. Babylon was the capital city. Okay, so when you talk about the Chaldeans, we're talking about everybody who lived, not just in Babylon, but in in what is that? Iran or Iraq?
Iraq.
Okay, whichever. I don't.
Oh,
From
no, that's Iraq. Persian for Iraq.
yeah, I think you're right. Okay, and so territory, the Chaldeans. This is the people which was not. Assyria planned for the Chaldeans to be appointed to the desert. What does that mean to you? What do you think? What did he say? Assyria appointed for the Chaldeans. Assyria appointed it for desert creatures. Pardon? Yeah, I mean, Babylon was the chief competitor for the Assyrian Empire. While this Assyrian Empire was powerful, the best thing we can do is just squash them. All right. So Assyria had appointed Babylon to be just a place for desert creatures. Now, we're going to read in some of the prophecies regarding Babylon that that's what God decided, that they would be a place, or maybe we already read in 13 and 14, place for desert creatures. That's what God was ultimately going to do to Babylon. That's what Assyria wanted to do. But now here, the Chaldeans, they erected their siege towers. They stripped its palaces. They made it a ruin. Whale ship to Tarshish. So what Assyria couldn't accomplish, they wanted to, is remove and destroy Babylon, reduce them to nothing. But that people that Assyria wanted to conquer was the one that was setting up the siege towers against Tyre. It says they've made it a ruin. Well, ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. Now it will come about in that day that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. And at the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as the song of the harlot. So, interestingly, I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. Oh, I'll have to verify. But Nebuchadnezzar labored for 13 years and couldn't conquer Tyre. Now, granted, when he finally breached the walls, it was a shell. They had gone. And so God says, I had him labor here for all this time, and he had no real. What's the pay that a soldier got in a siege? He wasn't being paid by the civil government back home, the spoils. And so it 13 years they labored against Tyre and couldn't capture the spoils. They pushed them off the mainland, never to return to the mainland. But God says, I'll give you Egypt. I'll give you Egypt as a reward for doing my work here on Tyre. Okay. So there was a work done by Nebuchadnezzar against Tyre. It wasn't the final devastation, but it did slow them down, and they were forgotten for 70 years, but then they came back. What happened after 70 years? How long was
That's the Medo Persian.
yeah, the Medo-Persians took over. Things changed, policies changed, and so we're allowed to thrive again. So they're going to come back to life. This is not the death of Tyre, but what is the death of Tyre is absolutely fascinating and faith building. And we're going to talk about that next. Verse 17. And it will come about at the end of 70 years that Yahweh will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the face of the earth. She won't have learned her lesson. We can go back and make more money. We can do it ourselves for money, sell her, and her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart for Yahweh, to Yahweh. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of Yahweh. Now, what do you make out of that?
I didn't hear the question.
I said the question was, what do you make out of that? Verse 16. Her 18, yeah. Her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to Yahweh. It will not be stored up or hoarded. He's not going to get to keep it.
Here we go again.
But
that's all I can say. Here we go again. Another sheep.
Or ultimately, you're not. You don't get to keep. You don't get to keep this. And that kind of is the segue that I wanted, the springboard into what happened to Tyre. Now this three-page two-sheet thing that I handed out, Tyre and prophecy and history, I did not include the prophecy of Isaiah in this. This is a piece that I made. Kevin, I probably put this together about the day you were born or the year you were born. About 50 years, 50 some years ago, I sat down and I did a work. I called it the Cities of Prophecy. I worked on the premise that we saw in Daniel 2 that there is a God who can see the future. Your wise men, Nebuchadnezzar, they can't see. They don't know. They're useless. But there's a God who can see the future. If we can find predictions of what would happen to cities, then we can say that the prophets could not possibly know, but they knew. Therefore, they wrote from God. That was the theory. That was the premise. Okay? So I want especially, you can look at the Joel and Zechariah references. I want to just focus my attention tonight on this from Ezekiel 26. And I'm going to start, as you see there, with verse 3. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. Alan, that's an important detail. He didn't say, I'm going to bring the Babylonians against you. He said, I'm going to bring many nations against you. And they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. And I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, declares the Lord Yahweh, and she will become spoil for the nations. See, this is kind of what Isaiah said. She won't store it up. I'm going to give it to somebody else. Now, in verse 7, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland. Daughters on the mainland, people, its villages. Just like Tyre was the daughter of Sidon. Say, it would be the smaller villages, those that didn't have the protection of walled city. He will slay them on the mainland with a sword, and he will make siege walls against you, cast up a mound against you, and raise up a large shield against you. And the blow of his battering rams he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you, and your walls will shake at the noise of the cavalry and the cannons and the chariots when he enters your gates, as men enter a city that is breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will come to the ground. Also, now watch this, verse 12. Also they, he went from he in verse 11 to they in verse 12. They will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, break down your walls, destroy your pleasant houses, and throw your stones and timbers and debris into the water. Now, as I've already said, Nebuchadnezzar labored for 13 years. And all when he finally breached the walls, it was a ghost town. There was nothing there, nothing left to capture, nothing to take a spoil. And so here's the city with its broken down wall and its houses and whatever shambles they were. What possible anger needed to be aroused for all of that debris to be thrown into the ocean. Because God said, I'm going to escape you down to a bare rock. Nebuchadnezzar left this just like that. He left it just went down to Egypt, got his wages. But historically, when did Alexander the Great happen through the area? It was after the Medo-Persian, right? The Medo-Persians fell to him. Go ahead. I think it might be in the notes. Okay, 332. Approached by Nebuchadnezzar was in the 500, or 589. 586 is when the temple was destroyed. And this would be after that. So we're talking about 100, 250 years later. Alexander came through. Alexander wanted to visit the now reestablished, prosperous, very prosperous city of Tyre on the island, half a mile offshore. And they were willing for him to pay some tribute to him, but they were not willing for him to enter the city because they figured if he gets in, he's going to leave troops here. And we'll lose our sovereignty. So they resisted him, which only got young Alexander. I mean, he's a hothead, right? You know, Alexander and Jesus started their ministry about the same time and lasted about as long. He died in a drunken stupor of sickness at about age 33, and Jesus died on the cross, the same age. So Alexander got all the heat, hot-headed passion of it. Of a young man. You remember what that was like. Notice how I put it in the past tense. And he said, you think I'm not coming in? I'm coming in. How do you march horses across half mile of water?
Yeah,
build a mole or a causeway. Where do you get the materials to build a causeway? How about this ghost town on shore? And so he broke down the wall and the buildings, and he started dumping it. He wanted a road that he could ride two chariots wide, maybe to come and go. I don't know. That's what he wanted. And it wasn't quite enough. So you know what he did? He scraped the dirt down to bedrock to finish building his mole. You can go to the ancient site of Tyre, and you can see that mole. It's still there. And you know what the fishermen do on that bare rock? They spread their nets to dry them. And what did Ezekiel say was going to happen? Exactly that. Now, that's the end of the story. That's the continuation and the end of the story. I think you'll enjoy reading. There's a whole lot more to the story than the brief little excerpt I gave you. But the point is, here in 100 years later, we're dealing with Isaiah 23, but 100 years later was the writing of Ezekiel 26, where, and that would have been right around the time of the Nebuchadnezzar's siege, right? And obviously before Nebuchadnezzar had started against Tyre, but not much before. And so he projected 250 years from now what Tyre was going to be, what it would look like. A bare rock where fishermen would spread their nets. And the site would never be rebuilt. And to this day, it has never been rebuilt. There is a small city out there on the island, but that's not Tyre. That's, you know, where she moved. The city on the mainland has never been rebuilt. It's not going to be. The question is, how did Ezekiel know to get it so right? How did he know to get it so accurate? Did he have just projected in his mind, this is what's going to happen. There's going to come a world ruler who'll be so insanely angry that he'll just rip all this stuff up and throw it in the sea. Is that how that happened?
Good guess.
Good guess, yeah. Right. What are the odds that you want to risk your soul on? You want to bet on that? You want to bet your life on it? Anyway, that's what I had for you for tonight. Next week, we start a brand new section, so we have a brand new reading schedule. This time, it'll just be 24 through 27. I just want to read 28, 29. That's fine, too. But Kevin, what we've been doing is six chapters each week until we finish covering that, and then another six chapter chunks, but six chapter chunks, 1 through 6, 7 through 12, 13 through 18, then this one was 19 through 23, because 24 starts a brand new section. I didn't want to break it up. So 24 through 27 will be the reading until we finish chapter 27. Every week, I want you to read that. Now, since I'm left 5 minutes early, what are you going to give me an inch? Say, the 5 minute over that you took us last week? Okay. Any thoughts, comments, questions, rebuttals?
One thing I noticed that when he was talking to Gujo, he said return to you.
Yeah, he did. They had to know him from the 230 years that held him.
Like he was going with them before.
Yeah.
They had a following.
Yeah.
Probably well, during Joseph Rain.
Yeah. Well, you know, a goodly number of Egyptians left with Moses. I mean, because could I see through the thick darkness that they saw the light?
Pharaoh, I guess, was it up, you know, that was the reason why God had been created.
So there were some people that did that. Because each one of those, each one of the plagues was addressing one of the Egyptian gods.
Dominance over the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Read, is it 12:12? Exodus 12:12, that I will pass judgment on all the gods of Egypt.